Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Lowe's knows how to help make your home holiday ready for less. Get Select Style Selections vinyl flooring for just $1.99 per square foot and have it installed before the festivities begin. Our team can help you every step of the way. See a Lowe's Red Vest associate or visit lowes.com/holidayinstall to get started. Lowe's, we help, you save. Basic install only. Date restrictions apply. Subject to availability. Install by independent contractor. See associate for details. Contiguous U.S. only.
According to Brett Siegel, it is still very likely that one of Io DeSumo or Kobe White move before the start of the season. We're going to talk a little bit about that and why, if the Bulls are still planning any type of decent trade, it could go down during Las Vegas Summer League or shortly thereafter. We'll talk a little bit about that. Plus, we're going to talk about why to be excited for the Chicago Bulls Summer League play with Modest Bouzelis, Noah Essengay, and more. And Trey Jones called the Bulls' biggest mistake of the offseason, re-signing him? Really? We'll talk about all that and more right after this.
You are now tuned in to Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for all things Chicago Bulls, hosted by Hayes.
What's going on, Bulls fans? Welcome to another episode of Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related. I'm the host there, Hayes, but more importantly, you guys can follow the channel at Bulls Central Pod on every social media platform we happen to be on. With that said, let's go ahead and get into this content today, y'all. And Brett Siegel had a tweet out yesterday. He was asked by, I guess, one of his followers, is there anything on Chicago? And he did say this in regards to it, said that the Chicago Bulls, they still remain in talks and that he would not be surprised if one of, or it's likely, more likely than unlikely, that one of Kobe White or Io DeSumo is traded this offseason. And of course, he said that there's been more interest in DeSumo than White. Now, this isn't anything that we haven't heard. We've already heard that there's more interest in Io DeSumo than Kobe White. You know, that's one thing that we've seen pretty regularly. Casey Johnson himself even said that that he's heard Io's name more than Kobe White's name over the course of the summer. And so while this isn't surprising anymore, it still does raise the question of, all right, what are the Bulls doing here if that is the move that they're decided to make, right? Like, I think when bringing in Isaac Okoro, okay, maybe you could look at that and say, all right, maybe they feel more comfortable moving Io DeSumo or Kobe White because they're bringing in another guy who could play guard. He's played mainly small forward and power forward over his career, but he could play guard, right? There's definitely that possibility there as well. You re-sign Trey Jones, which also could free up a guard to be moved there if that's what the Bulls are deciding to do. I've had my own personal thoughts on this. To me, that we've heard even at the trade deadline that Io was getting more calls than Kobe White. That's something that we've heard. And, you know, that at that point in time, the Bulls were turning away those calls. Now, I wish I could say that Arturis Karnisov is a GM that when he turns something down, that he doesn't turn around and immediately try to portray that player just months later. That is something he does pretty frequently. So even I couldn't say that just because he turned down Io DeSumo trades at the trade deadline, that it means that he's not possibly moving him. But the last that we've heard as far as on that front is that the Bulls want to hold on to Io. Now, as far as the Kobe White front, right? It's been mixed reporting on that. Even Casey Johnson has been back and forth on it as far as like the Bulls' desire to hold on to Kobe White. In an episode of the Fast Break, Casey Johnson did mention that he has heard nothing as far as internally on Kobe White being moved, right? Just that the name that he heard more is Io DeSumo, but he's heard nothing internally about Kobe White being moved. But I want to talk about this, right? Why is there still a chance that Kobe White could be moved? Why is that still a opportunity for either one of these guys to be moved? Again, not something that I want to see happen, but why is it a possibility? A lot of GMs are going to be at Vegas Summer League. There are going to be a lot of executives from over teams. There's going to be a lot of coaches there. And it's not that we've never seen before deals happen coming out of Summer League, because there are a lot of GMs and a lot of executives all in one place. And typically when that happens, it gives them opportunity to talk kind of gauge them more so than over the phone, do more in-person things. So there's always a chance of that. And I want to be clear on this right now, that there is a chance that maybe something like that is being talked about and is a more of a possibility if the Bulls do decide to make a move, that it does happen here, after Vegas Summer League, which AK or Eversley, whoever's there, maybe both of them, get an opportunity to sit down with other GMs. There's opportunity to do business there. There's a lot, and not even necessarily just on IO, maybe a Vooch trade, maybe, something like that. So it's, while there's been a lot of rumors around the Chicago Bulls, but not a lot of substance as far as the deal getting moved, to me, Vegas Summer League, if something's going to happen between now and the start of the season, those talks may start here. Now, I'm not saying that they're going to be 100% completed here, but I do think that there is a chance that they start here, and then we start seeing those talks materialize. We got to see if AK and Eversley are actually going to do something. I doubt it. I do look at this team in this front office, and to me, it just seems like a team that's content on, with the only two new faces that we really have are Noah Essengay and Isaac Okoro. And, bringing back Josh Giddey, I've resigned to the fact or realization, whatever you want to call it, that a front office wanting to see the majority of a team come back that went on the run that the Bulls did last year is not something that I can't knock that as a bad thing. I can't knock that as a bad thing if that's what they want to do. The problem then comes in at is that has AK, if he does decide to make a move between now and the start of the season, has he missed the opportunity to get the most value back? And that's just a question that I think I'm going to have regardless of when it's AK, just because of how he's done deals or lack thereof since he's run the Chicago Bulls. It's just that he isn't a GM that really is aggressive about going out there and getting stuff done. He's never been that, right? But, he has been somebody who always waits, it seems like, too late to make the deal. Alex Caruso, multiple first-round picks offered at the trade deadline. You end up trading him in the offseason for Josh Giddey. Now, Josh is a fine player. I'm not worried about that. I like Josh Giddey being here, and I want the Bulls to keep him. But you have that, right? Zach LaVine, the New York Knicks trade. A year and a half later, now you're actively moving him, and you aren't able to move him, right? We've talked about that. I think it was three first-round picks on the table that was there when the Bulls had that opportunity. He turned it down, right? Andre Drummond, two second-round picks. You let him walk for nothing in free agency. You probably knew you were going to let him walk, but why did you do that, right? Lonzo Ball, most recently, offered a pick that became the 18th overall pick. You turn around and trade him 3-4 months later, and you get Isaac Okoro back. Isaac Okoro, again, another fine player, but maybe that's more so something that gears towards the front office. They value players more than picks, and I guess I get that to a degree. We heard the same thing about the Suns when it came to KD. They were valuing the players they get back more necessarily than the picks, even though they did, they did get the 10th overall pick back in that. But everything that AK does, you always look on it, and it's almost like every time it's like, yeah, but you could have got better just a couple of months ago. Why didn't you do that? And the fact that it keeps repeating that way, and I get it, hindsight is always going to be a thing. In every NBA move, hindsight is going to be a thing. You already have people after Juan Behringer's performance in Summer League, they're talking about, oh my God, the Bulls got the wrong forward. It's like, we haven't even seen Noah Essengay play. More on that in a second, right? But that's just the nature of sports. That's the nature of basketball. That's the nature of sports conversation, especially when you have a fan base that's been as thirsty as Bulls fans have been, rightfully so, I might add, for what they need for this team. All those things included, like, it matters. And, we'll see what the Bulls end up doing. But to hear that from somebody, and Brett Siegel as well, is somebody that you take, as all these insiders, all these NBA reporters, you always take everything they say with a grain of salt, because it's like, is it more reactive reporting? Are they just going off of what they've seen other reporters do around the league? Do they actually have a source with the Bulls or with any other team that's talked to the Bulls? Or are they just going off of like a Casey Johnson report, right? Like that's the type of thing you have to ask with people like Brett Siegel, Evan Sideri, like those guys. You have to ask that with those type of people, because and not to knock them as people, but it's just that they can't. You can't be in tune with. You're not Shams. You don't have a source in every team in the league. So when you talk about every team, it's like, all right, are you piggybacking off a different report? And if you are, cool. But people aren't going to take it that way, especially when you look at aggregation and how it now works online with, the sites like Die Hard Chicago Bulls and those type of ones that how they operate. So you got those things that are involved in it, but we shall see when it comes down to it. I don't expect the Bulls to do anything at this point. If they can move Vooch, they can move Vooch. We heard the Nick Richards things for Javon Carter. That would specifically just be if if the Bulls want to take advantage of the Suns looking to move off of a player because now they have depth at the forward spot. But even then, that was kind of more of a soft reporting too. So I think the best bet that we are right now is that the Bulls roster is going to be the exact same as it looks right now. There's a higher chance than not that that's what we're rolling into coming in the season. Now, Vooch or anybody else can increase their trade value. I think the trade deadline is going to be swirled with a lot of rumors for the Chicago Bulls at the trade deadline. And, you know, let me be clear. They're not even going to stop. They're not going to stop between now and then. They're going to keep going. And that just is what it is. But, you know, we shall see what's going to happen, what's not going to happen. You guys know if anything does happen, we'll be covering it here at Chicago Bulls Central, period, point blank. If news drops, we drop. And that just is what it is. We're still waiting on the Josh Giddey deal to come down. All the restricted free agents are waiting. And I think that just shows, like, there's a holding pattern right now in the league. And maybe some things start getting done around Summer League or coming out of that. We'll see what happens after this weekend. But you guys, let me know how you feel on all of that down below. With that said, let's go ahead and move into the next topic for today. There was an article over on Clutch Points. And they do this for every team. So I want to make sure, because the last time we did a Clutch Points, they were like, why are they picking on the Chicago Bulls? They do it for every team. They look at the biggest mistakes that that teams made in the offseason, and they have labeled this Trey Jones re-signing as the Bulls' biggest mistake of free agency. Now, let's be clear. The Bulls didn't do a lot in free agency. We traded for Isaac Okoro. We re-signed Trey Jones. You don't have the Josh Giddey deal yet for people to break down and call that a miserable deal because that's going to happen. Best believe, oh my God, the articles that are going to be written. Regardless of what Josh Giddey signs for, when he re-signs, the articles are going to be crazy, so y'all stay in tune with that one. But, you know, they said this. As mentioned, the Bulls gave Jones 3 years for $24 million. That comes out to $8 million per. But there is a team option after the second year that does make the contract a little bit more team-friendly. But $8 million per seems a bit generous. The problem is the deal is the money. It is nowhere near the highest-paid player on the Bulls.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Dreaming of blissful summer days and creamy popsicles? Capture sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. Just one stick and 16 ounces of water can help hydrate you better than water alone. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout.
At the moment, no shit. However, he cannot be expected to repeat his production from last year. In fact, his time with the Bulls was his best since 2022-23 season. You say that like that was like 4 years away. In that year, Jones was worse shooting and started losing his full-time starting spot the next year. Without the production from last season, signing Trey Jones to that contract seems like a reach. Now, I put this on the docket mainly because when the Trey Jones signing went down, a lot of people echoed this sentiment, right? That, oh my God, we signed Trey Jones for how much? That's an overpay. And here's the thing. That's typically point guard, backup point guard money. When you look at it, it's an $8 million contract, which shapes out to be 5.2% of the cap. Keep in mind, it's not an escalating or de-escalating contract. It stays the same. So while it's 5.2% of the cap this year, it's only 4.8% of the cap the next year. So you actually, it's taking up less amount of your cap space because, again, the way that the Bulls structured the contract, which does matter. And as I said, it is an option in the final year of that deal where it'll go down to 4.4% of the salary cap. To put that in perspective, Javon Carter's contract now is 4.4% of the salary cap right now, which means that when he signed his deal was a larger portion of the salary cap than what Trey Jones is now when you factor in the rises of the salary cap. And Javon Carter got a $6 million deal. So let's be clear here, right? And I understand this, why the conversation is going to be there and things that work out to that matter. It is what it is there, right? Like, I just want to be clear. It is what it is there. But to say that Trey Jones is overpaid is, to me, ridiculous. It's a ridiculous proposition to say a player like Trey Jones is overpaid. Now, you could say, especially for a team as well in the Bulls, that have cap space going forward. That's all we freaking got is cap space. That's it, right? We don't have a lot of players under roster. So you're telling me that for a team that's shaped up right now to have like six players under roster at the end of the season, having somebody like Trey Jones that is on a cost-controlled, very easily movable contract, if you look, because a lot of Bulls fans like to talk about things in the sense of, but what if we need to move it? Even though you don't sign players with the thought of, hey, we're going to trade them a year later. That's that 2K mindset. But even if you do need to move that contract down the road, it's not a hard contract to move at all. So, you know, I get it that people are looking for angles. And Clutch Points writes an article every single day. Check them out. They actually have some really good, and I will say this. Most of their articles are solid. I want to be clear there. This is not me coming at Clutch Points. Most of their articles are very solid. But for an outlet, when an outlet feels like they have to write an article every day and they have a theme of an article, like I said, they probably were holding off on this and hoping that the Josh Giddey contract was going to be signed by them, because that absolutely would have been what they picked. But at this point, Trey Jones is who he is, and that is a really damn good player. And he's a very solid point guard. And I think the Bulls needed that production. You need a backup point guard. The Bulls didn't have one. Well, unless you were planning on using Javon Carter, was that what you were going to do? Would you rather see the Bulls run Javon Carter out there as the backup point guard? Trey Jones has been perfectly fine over his NBA career. And yes, he did take a step back at the beginning of 2024-25. Because guess what? They acquired Chris Paul and drafted Stephon Castle. But the 2 years before that, he was coming off back-to-back years, averaging double-digit points on effective shooting, 50% shooting in 2023-24, 45% shooting, basically 46 in 2022-23. Like, Trey Jones had been getting better. His role came in because they brought a veteran in that they knew they were going to either have to move or was better to pair with Wimby. But Trey Jones doesn't turn the ball over. One turnover per game for his career, and only 2 years of bringing that up. Otherwise, it would be less than that. With almost 5 assists per game over the course of his NBA career. Again, for a backup point guard, we get it. He fell out of being a starter in that rotation. We're not looking for him to be the starter here. We're paying him like a backup point guard because guess what? That's what we want him to do. We want him to back up our point guard. That's it. It's nothing overly complicated about this. But, you know, it is what it is when it comes down to Clutch Points. We cover everything here. And also for the perspective, right? Because I do think there are some fans that hear that number and they automatically think, oh my God, $8 million. But that's why I talked about it in the sense of the percentage of the cap. 5% of the cap. Five. It's going to go down. That's not bad money at all. That's not bad money at all. It's less than the mid-level exception. You use Bird Rice to re-sign him, which you kept your mid-level exception and flexibility to do that. I don't think this is a bad deal. When you can't judge deals in a vacuum. You have to judge them by what the team need was. Also, their role on that specific team. Yeah, somebody could say and try to make the case, well, he may be a third stringer on the Thunder. Okay, cool, but we're not the Thunder. We're the Chicago Bulls. And right now, I tell you what, you need Trey Jones. And when he came in, showed himself to be effective, a player that the coaching staff really decides to like, you keep that player, you try to, like, do we, you can't complain that the Bulls don't take care of players and then at the same time complain about every deal because you want to get players for dirt cheap. It doesn't make any sense. And that's fan logic. It is what it is. It happens. We all have been there before, but, you know, it is what it is. We shall see. Now, moving on, the Bulls start their summer league play today. And I tell you what, and this isn't just because I'm a basketball junkie. I love basketball. I love watching sports. I love all of that, right? But Summer League has been really exciting. Hell, Bronny James and Cooper Flagg went to battle yesterday. Like, that's something. We're going to talk about that over on NBA Central if you want a little preview of that that's going on there. But the Chicago Bulls take the court today, finally. And we're going to get to see a little bit of, you know, what's in store for the future, right? And so when people ask, like, okay, why should I watch Summer League? What's happening in Summer League that I should be watching it for? And I'll tell you what, that's the biggest thing right now. It's because a big part of the Bulls' future, Modest Bouzelas, for anybody who's a Modest Bouzelas fan, he should be completely unleashed tonight in Summer League, meaning that he's going to have he's only probably going to play a couple of games. It's already basically been reported that only expect Modest Bouzelas to play a couple of games, you know, saying this. After finishing last season as a starter for the Bulls, Bouzelas will at most play 2 games during Summer League. If it was up to him, the forward would play every single game of the tournament, but he isn't going to fight the front office for minutes. So there you go. Like, you're only going to see a couple of games of Modest Bouzelas there, but if you want to see Modest unleashed, You're going to get to see that in summer league because he's going to be the best player on the court, right? And so you're going to be able to see him create off the dribble. For the people who want to see him shoot a little bit more, for the people that want to see the step he made defensively, for all that, you're going to get to see Miles Bouzelas. So one reason to watch summer league this year is Bouzelas unleashed. He's going to get to do whatever he wants to down there. Of course, they're going to try to have him work on things that he's not going to get to work on right away in the NBA season. He's probably going to take more threes. He's going to take players off the dribble. He's going to create some, right? He's going to do a little bit of that. So that's case in point, the biggest reason to watch summer league. Then, of course, we got a rookie that we drafted there in Noah Essengay at 12th overall. And Essengay is a player that I think that you're not going to see just one thing from Noah. In the NBA, if he gets minutes, you're primarily going to see him be a defender. You're going to see him use his defense, use his ability to get out in transition, maybe be a lob threat with Josh Giddey and Kobe and Io on that fast break at times. And that's perfectly fine, right? But in summer league, you're going to get to see him, much like with Modest, get to do a little bit of everything. And especially after Modest stops playing games, and it is just Noah Essengay there, and, you know, Wuga Poplar, the other players that we have, there's a lot of players to look at. Lachlan Obrick is another guy that you're looking at. Lachlan Obrick, because before Bulls Troy sends me another message about me mispronouncing his countryman's name. But you're going to get to see, of course, those guys. But Essengay, you're going to get to see every tool that he has in the shed. And I think that itself is that. And so overall, it's the future aspect of it. You're going to get to see a glimpse of what the future of the Bulls could look like. And Noah and Modest are a big part of the Bulls' future plans. But outside of that, like for those that are basketball junkies like me, and you actually are going to watch, you know, the G League and stuff like that, because I'm watching everything. If y'all, I do last season, it's just with the busyness of it all, I didn't get to do as much G League coverage as I did the year prior. But for those that know, I do weekly G League episodes where we just go over the week of games in the G League, what players stood out, what players didn't. So for me, there's that added aspect about it because I'm going to get to see a little bit because a lot of these guys are going to be on the Bulls G League roster next year. And so I like that. Kawamura, I'm excited to see him. He's guys that seems like he's going to be a really good facilitator. Javon Freeman Liberty back in a Bulls uniform. You get to see that. Lachlan Obrick, you get to see him. Wuga Poplar, I like him. And then plus another guy that I know is going to get the jokes, but Josh Primo. People forget Josh Primo was a lottery pick. And the Bulls signed him last year knowing that he was going to have to recover from injury, but they basically did that so he can recover here in their system and get a look at him. And the Bulls are in a place where they're trying to take a look at, much like we did with EJ Liddell and things last year, who signed with another team, but take a look at former picks that they had some interest in to see, hey, is there something that we can develop there? And so you get to see that. This is going to be an exciting time. But Noah and Modest are going to be the focus of summer league, as they should. And we're going to see a big look at those guys. But that's my time for today. We will be live, by the way, for the summer league game tonight. So make sure you guys stay in tune with us on that. That's going to be fun. We're going to be breaking it down. Me, C-Dub, probably Bobby. We'll see if Bobby pops in there as well. So make sure you guys stay in tune with that one. If you're listening to this on the podcast side, go over to the YouTube side. That's where you get things like live watch parties for games that you don't get on the podcast feed. But guys, thank you for tuning in. Make sure you guys are following us at Bull Central Pod. You can send us any feedback, questions, comments, concerns, bullcentralpod@gmail.com. Lastly, if you want to leave a text message and our voicemail for the mailbag, the number to do so, 773-270-2799. We are the number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related, but that is thanks to you, lovely and beautiful people. And like I like to end every episode on, go Bulls. Love you guys. See red if you can, y'all. Peace.
This has been a presentation of the Break Media.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.